Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Maitreya program. We have two articles for you this morning, and both are concerning global inequality, the resolving of which is one of the Masters and Maitreya's priorities. Both articles are sourced from the November 2020 issue of Share International magazine. And the first one is titled Global Poverty Soars as Incomes of World's Billionaires Hit New Highs, and it's by Talif Dean. Addressing poverty eradication just ahead of the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty, which was on 17th October 2020, UN Chief Antonio Guterres warned that the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic are falling disproportionately on the most vulnerable, people living in poverty, the working poor, women and children, persons with disabilities, and other marginalised groups.
The phenomenal rise in extreme poverty for the first time in 20 years has been accompanied by an upsurge in the incomes of the world's billionaires and the super rich. The paradox of poverty amidst plenty is being blamed largely on the coronavirus pandemic, which has driven millions, mostly in the developing world, into a state of perpetual poverty. As the United Nations commemorates International Day for the Eradication of Poverty, the rich are getting richer and the poor poorer, which may also reflect the realities of widespread economic inequalities worldwide.
The world's total population is around 7.8 billion, and according to the UN, more than 736 million people live below the international poverty line. A World Bank report, this again is from October 2020, said extreme poverty is set to rise this year and for the first time in more than two decades, while the impact of the spreading virus is expected to push up to 115 million more people into poverty. The pandemic, which is also compounding the forces of conflict and climate change, has already been slowing poverty reduction, the World Bank said. By 2021, as many as 150 million more people could be living in extreme poverty. By contrast, the wealth of the world's billionaires reached a new record high in the middle of the pandemic, primarily as a rebound in tech stocks boosting the fortunes of the global elite. And that's according to a report released in October by UBS Global Wealth Management and PwC Switzerland.
Providing a sheaf of statistics, the report said total wealth held by billionaires reached $10.2 trillion last July, described as a new high compared with the $8.9 trillion in 2017. The number of billionaires worldwide has been estimated at 2,189, up from 2,158 in 2017. The rising earnings were mostly from three sectors, including tech, healthcare, and industry, a trend accelerated by the pandemic. But the study also says the rise in billionaires has led to greater philanthropy, with some 209 billionaires pledging $7.2 billion in donations. Pooja Rangavzad, Director of Policy and Advocacy in Financing for Development, short FFD, at the Rome-based Society for International Development, or SID, told IBS, philanthropy or charity is not a substitute for systemic solutions.
She pointed out that many developing countries are already on the brink of debt crises, further exacerbated by a broken international tax system that allows wealthy corporations and individuals to pay little to no taxes. And she says, unless global economic solutions are prioritised to ensure developing countries have the fiscal space to respond to the crisis, the consequences will be devastating, with millions being pushed back into extreme poverty. Governments urgently need to agree on systemic solutions such as debt cancellations, a binding and multilateral UN framework for debt crisis resolution that addresses unsustainable and illegitimate debt, and a UN tax convention to fix loopholes in the international tax system.
Professor Kunal Sen, Director of UN University World Institute for Development Economic Research, he told IPS, the challenge for the international community is to direct additional resources through official development assistance to low-income countries where global poverty is concentrated. The UN can play an important role in mobilizing resources for financing the efforts of the member states to counter the effects of the pandemic on the poor and vulnerable in their own countries.
The projected rise in poverty has also undermined one of the UN's 17 Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs for short, that had targeted the eradication of extreme poverty and hunger by 2030. According to the World Bank, extreme poverty is defined as living on less than $1.90 a day. The projected increase in poverty will be the first time since 1998, when the Asian financial crisis shook the global economy. Before the pandemic struck, the extreme poverty rate was expected to drop to 7.9% in 2020, but now it is likely to affect between 9.1% and 9.4% of the world's population this year. They're talking about 2020. According to the bank's biennial Poverty and Shared Prosperity report.
The pandemic and global recession may cause over 1.4% of the world's population to fall into extreme poverty, said World Bank Group President David Malpass, and that to reverse this serious setback, countries would need to prepare for a different economy post-COVID by allowing capital, labor, skills, and innovations to move into new business and sectors. The World Bank support would be available to developing countries as they work towards a sustainable and inclusive recovery. With grants and low-interest loans worth $160 billion to help more than 100 poorer countries tackle the crisis.
Ben Phillips, who's the author of the book How to Fight Inequality, told IPS that the concentration of wealth amongst a handful of oligarchs and the spread of impoverishment to hundreds of millions more people are not the disconnected coincidences that the super-rich claim, but are two sides of the same penny. COVID-19 has not created obscene inequality, but it has supercharged it. In this systemic crisis, the healing impact of philanthropy will be no greater than a novelty sticking plaster on a gaping wound. As the Pope, the UN Secretary General, the President of Ireland, and Jacinda Ardern have all pointed out, There is only one non-disastrous way out of this, and that is a rebalancing of economies to serve ordinary people. He added, that is absolutely doable. Indeed, we've done it before. But markets cannot self-correct, and elites never bestow a fair economy from on high. Only pressure from ordinary people can win an economy that is humane and safe.
Dereji Elemayehu, excuse the pronunciation, Executive Coordinator of Global Alliance for Tax Justice, told IPS that inequality is rising in every country. So also is the income of billionaires. These are casually linked. Multinationals and the wealthy do not pay their share of taxes, thus depriving countries of the public revenue needed to address inequality. Furthermore, he said, the prevailing international financial architecture denies developing countries their right to tax their share in the global profit of multinationals. To adequately address inequality, national governments should introduce redistributive tax systems.
But this would not be enough. Developing countries should also reclaim their taxing rights on global profit. For this, a UN-led intergovernmental process in which member states participate on an equal footing should be established to pave the way for the reform of international tax rules and standards, said Elemayehu. And that was taken from the Interpress service.
Right. Now, our next article is titled Global Issues Require United Action and a Strong UN. And it was written in November 2020 by Graham Peoples, who is a charity worker with projects in India, Sri Lanka, Palestine and Ethiopia. Whatever corner of the world one happens to live in, the most pressing issues of the day affects everyone. The environmental emergency, war and terrorism, poverty, including food insecurity, overpopulation, and the displacement of persons, pandemic, epidemics, and so on. Such crises cannot be limited by borders or controlled by nation states. No government or corporate power can manage them. They are interconnected global issues, and they require a coordinated global response.
Whether drawn together by economic interests or shared geopolitical concerns, various allied groupings and regional alliances exist in the world. And while they present, in theory, the possibility of nations unifying, self-interest, ideology, and partisanship dominate the approach taken by governments to global problems. Achieving consensus is rare, implementation of agreements even more so. And with the rise of tribal nationalism in recent years, a corrosive development led by major nations like America, Russia and China, all of which were under the leadership more or less of a dictator, the space for cooperation and unity has been further eroded, the major issues of the times ignored or in many cases inflamed.
And now there's COVID-19. In addition to highlighting the inequalities of the social economic model, the pandemic has emphasized the need for a realignment of purpose in relation to collective need for nations to work cooperatively in response to global issues under the coordinated stewardship of an international body, one that endeavors to build the broadest level of consensus. Established in 1945 at the end of the Second World War, the United Nations, with its range of 15 specialized agencies, is the obvious body to take on such an expanded essential role through the recognition that certain issues demand unified strategic actions and an acknowledgement that the future of individual countries rests upon the health and stability of the whole.
Like all global organizations, it is imperfect, but it represents a high point in human achievement, and the world is a richer place for its existence. Millions of people have been fed, educated, and cared for by UN agencies over the past 75 years. One of the most significant realizations in the history of the UN, and indeed for humanity, was the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, proclaimed in 1948. a great aspirational achievement. It includes the right to not be enslaved, the right to free expression, the right to food and shelter, and the right to seek asylum from persecution.
Despite the fact that many of the articles remain unrealized, the existence of the UDHR is crucially important, establishing a clear set of rights for every human being in the world. And as we move into a new time, the UDHR would serve as a guideline template for systemic change, in particular the content of Article 25, which states, "Everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of himself and of his family, including food, clothing, housing, and medical care, and necessary social services, and the right to security in the event of unemployment, sickness, disability, widowhood, old age, or other lack of livelihood in circumstances beyond his control."
Under the current socio-economic model, these rights do not exist anywhere in the world. Creatively explored and developed, they could form the basis for a new and just economic system, one designed to ensure that these essential requirements are made available to everyone, no matter the circumstances of their birth or their financial status. The central mission statement of the UN is the maintenance of international peace and security. It does this, or tries to do this, by working to prevent conflict, helping parties in conflict make peace, peacekeeping, and creating the conditions to allow peace to hold and flourish.
However, with member states pursuing their own ideologically fueled agendas, and with limited or no influence to tackle the underlying causes of social injustice and conflict, the UN has been unable to achieve its principal goal, and wars of varying levels, including terrorism, state terrorism and non-state terrorism, have been raging in one region of the world or another year after year. Within the UN, there are a range of relevant departments concerned with the global issues outlined, agencies that are overflowing with expertise and people of goodwill. But whether it's the UNHCR working with refugees, the WHO, or WHO, or the UN Environment Agency, all too often their efforts to act for the benefit of those they serve are inhibited by the narrow self-centered approach of member states, the power exerted by the 15-member Security Council, in particular the permanent P5, by lack of funding and somewhat ambiguous world role.
Key to overcoming global issues is the introduction of sharing, together with a reinvigorated, expanded United Nations and a shift in attitudes. Most people in many nations are poor or poorly off, but the world is rich, overflowing. It is an abundant world, and everyone is entitled to benefit from its collective riches. Sharing, as a principle of living, needs to be planted into all areas of life, a unifying seed of goodness infusing all systems and modes of living. This will require the establishment of a new UN agency called the United Nations Office for Sharing, perhaps, and the dissolution of the Security Council, which is currently the most powerful arm of the UN. The new agency would assess need, design systems of sharing, and oversee their introduction. It would also be responsible for the equitable distribution, firstly of food and water, then through a massive volunteer program of other resources that are held within the world economy, including knowledge, skills, creativity, technical know-how, and such.
In a unified world where nations cooperate instead of competing, all resources would be offered for the common good and made available to all, no matter of nationality or economic circumstance. And that's for all we have for you today. And if you want more information, our website is share-international.org, or you can email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless.